Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, what an offseason it's been, and Spits and Suds is here for you with another episode. Hello, everybody. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. So excited to be here with you today. We have so much to talk about as we near the NHL draft and NHL free agency. Glad that Sean Shapiro can be on board at what we like to call the fastest 30 minutes in podcasting, where we try to dive into a bunch of topics. It's great. Thanks to the on-time experts. They are awesome. Somebody actually asked the other day, they said it was actually Andrew Epps, one of our Spits and Suds listeners. And he says, are you serious? You keep your temperature at 80 or 81 in your house? I do. And as a matter of fact, I had the blankets on last night. And you know what? I put in proper insulation, but my AC has never worked better. In fact, I was up there replacing the filter, and I got a filter that the on-time experts suggested. They said, this is going to work better than your average filter. And it has. The on-time experts, that's the kind of advice they give me because they want me as a customer for life. That didn't cost me any extra money. It was just advice. And they've given me some advice along the way that has helped my house stay nice and cool. They have two specials right now. Make sure you take advantage of that. That $59 complete HVAC system cleaning. They'll get rid of that dust. They'll get rid of that grime. They'll tell you what parts need to be replaced in the future. And that's a key. They're not going up there looking to get some money out of you. They are looking to just tell you, here's what we're looking for in the future. If something does need to be replaced, of course, they'll bring it up to you. And then it's your decision. They also have that $99 first-time customer drain cleaning. So first floor, get those drains cleaned nice and smooth. You know what? The on-time experts has this same-day service guarantee. If you want to go walk your dogs, go walk your dogs. If you need to run errands, run errands, because the on-time experts will keep checking with you throughout the day. And the service technician will also check in and give you approximately the time that they're going to show up. That's what they did for me. So you can go about your day. You're not going to have to wait there from 9 to 5. Can't say enough about the official HVAC company of the Dallas Stars, also of Spits and Suds, the on-time experts. Check them out at theontimeexperts.com. Tell them Spits and Suds sent you. If there is a time that you need to sign up for my friend Sean Shapiro's Substack called Chap Shots, this is the time. What a great article he put out regarding some notes on Jason Robertson. He also writes for Elite Prospects for D Magazine. Subscribe on YouTube. Algorithmically Incorrect. I'm sure they'll talk a little Jason Robertson between Sean Shapiro and our friend from starsthoughts.com, Robert Tiffin. It's great to be with Sean Shapiro. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Gavin. I'm happy to be here. And it's that time of year where I feel like every podcast we have to like timestamp and say, hey, we're doing this on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, because if you're listening at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, please, new information may have established. So yeah, happy to be here. Lovely week. Draft on Friday and Saturday this week, which I'm looking forward to heading out to Buffalo on Thursday, nice, on Thursday night for that. And, most importantly, happy to be here right now.
Okay. So just, I love to get to know the people, and Sean and I have worked together for years. So I get to know them, and there are tidbits that sometimes are dropped in that I say, ooh, let me just spend 1 minute on that. So Gregory Finley and myself were talking to Sean about how his Father's Day was. Greg asked that question, and Sean said that he went camping in dunes with his kid and his kids and his family. So immediately it came to mind, because I will tell you, Gavin Spittle is not a camper. He's a glamper. Love the outdoors, love hiking. Sean Shapiro, did you sleep on the ground?
We did not sleep on the ground. So we slept. Okay. We have my in-laws have my in-laws have a camp. We go out to the, we pretty much go to the same place. We go out there a couple weekends each summer. They have the camper that they park out there, and it's a, turns into a real fun family activity we do with my wife's parents, where out on the west side of the state of Michigan, where they have the camper there. A little bit crowded, but it is a camper, climate controlled camper that you could set to 80 something degrees, Gavin, I'm sure, if you wanted to. And it's a little cramped, but it is officially indoors, so it is not sleeping on the ground.
I feel like I need to invite people over to my house so they know that 80 in Gavin's house is probably about 70 in other houses. Just understand, I'm not sweating in my house, people. Okay, let's dive into the hockey. I'm not trying to make this generic, but I want to get Sean's thoughts on Jason Robertson and all that it entails, because anytime now we could get a message from the Stars that say Jason Robertson has agreed on a multi-year deal, and then this is all for naught. So, Sean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and it's a time for, I don't want to say misinformation is the wrong word, but it's a time for a lot of overreaction to information, because it's a negotiation. Let's call the Jason Robertson thing what it is right now. It's a negotiation between the Robertson camp, his agent Andy Scott, and Jim Nill, the Dallas Stars GM. And we've seen reports and they track with what I've heard of, you know what, Robertson's camp is coming in and asking for $14 million. Makes a ton of sense. The cap's going up. His Andy Scott got Leon Draisaitl $14 million 2 years ago. You come in big. The Stars made a $12 million offer. One thing that I kind of don't like is when there's the whole, I saw reports of like, oh, we know Robertson turned down the $12 million offer. Yes, he turned down the $12 million offer, but that it was such, there's such been such finality that added to it. People say like, oh, he turned down a $12 million offer. It wasn't $12 million, take it or leave it. It's not no to the $12 million. Does that mean Jason Robertson is, would there's something that could be done at 12, 5 or 13? Possibly, but there's not the finality that kind of comes with some of these reports. And then you see the conversation of people talking about whether Robertson might get traded or not. And that is possible, definitely feasible. The Stars have, Jim Nill is listening on Jason Robertson. He's taking calls on it. I know we know the Ottawa Senators have called about it, but anyone calling about a player or a player being available, it's for GMs. I think people have to remember it's a something that's as common as you and I calling about scheduling this podcast, Gavin. It's the whole like, hey, to give people an idea of how official our programming is until Greg steps in and saves us every week. it always goes in. Gavin and I will text. It'll be either Sunday. It'll be typically be a Sunday night and be like, hey, what time do we want to do this week? And I say, what about this time? And Gavin says, sure. Or no, I can't do that time. That's what this is like right now. Just to be very clear, like there's obviously a little bit more formality to it, but there's not a finality to Jason Robertson didn't sign for 12 million and said, oh my God, it's all falling through. I've gone back to this and I wrote about this on Monday this week. It's only Tuesday, believe it or not, Gavin.
I know.
That to me, this feels very similar to the arc the Mikko Rantanen deal went, where it was got out there publicly, he wanted 14 million, and that's why Colorado wasn't going to make it work. And then they traded him to Carolina and oh, 14 million, but he's not going to sign here. And then lo and behold, that 14 million became 12 when he got to Dallas. And so it feels very similar. The Robertson scenario feels very similar to me, that of his camp, obviously the same agent that dealt with Rantanen's deal, coming in, trying to get what you can get. And you try to get every penny out of a deal, but you got to ask big to be able to get big, because if Robertson's camp came to the table and said, hey, it's harder to get 12 million to 12 and a half or 13 if you come in and ask for 13, right, Gavin? Mm-hmm. Right. So if there's a number that you're going to come to, and then you got to play the game. So, obviously a lot still to go with this. I'm still of the belief that I think the Stars and Robertson get something done. Again, could change, and there's always an opening to that. And I think there's one possibility and scenario that you and I will probably talk about of what kind of plan B could be on that. But Jim Nill isn't going to move on from Jason Robertson. And unless in his mind, there's a way that also makes his team better. And I think that's an important element to remember on this. So I also laugh at all of this because while all of this is going on, Gavin, I keep seeing like Jason posting on Instagram, like he's at World Cup games in Jerry World at Dallas Stadium and everything like that. And it's just like, he's just casually happily living in Dallas right now while everyone else in the Dallas area is going through the conniptions about all of this.
And I think that's what makes Jason Robertson so effective. He lives his life. Yeah. Like he does not, outside distractions seem to not bother Jason Robertson.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, I think that's unique and I think that's playing into his favor right now.
On the front, Gavin, just to further your point, I think Jason kind of holding out on the last RFA deal and missing all of training camp and then going and scoring 100 plus points.
Yep.
That shows some, that shows that he has the, he's not afraid to push some boundaries and to push some things in this negotiation that some players frankly don't have the chutzpah to do. So
I will also say this, like Stars fans, I understand you want your person to take a discount. Jason Robertson has deserved this opportunity for him and the people surrounding him to make the best decision for Jason Robertson. And that could very well be Dallas. So be careful when you say, let's trade him, because this process is still ongoing. What we see on social media isn't necessarily what's going on, right, Sean, behind closed doors teams and between. So I understand there are reports, like you said, all out there about Dylan Larkin, about Jason Robertson, about the Ottawa Senators. And, you know, we don't know the answers, but all we can do is present for perspective. I did want to clear a couple things up, Sean.
Yeah.
Is that NHL salaries, no matter if you're in Ottawa, Toronto, Winnipeg, or Florida, Tampa, American dollars are paid to these players, correct?
Correct. Yes. That is the players are paid in American dollars. The rest of the team employees, interestingly, are typically paid in Canadian dollars. But yes, the players themselves, the union is an American union. The NHLPA is. They are paid in American dollars. The salary cap is done in American dollars.
One of the other aspects, I understand that the majority of games are played, you know, in Dallas if you play for the Dallas Stars. That makes sense. But I think what people need to understand is it's not just the Texas tax bracket.
Yeah.
When you play in a city, you are taxed in that city.
Yes. It is a, like, so for example, and it's funny because the number is always California. That California is the state you talk to players, that the state that comes after you the most. Every day you spend in a state for work purposes, the state will come after you for state income tax. Some states are more aggressive than others in that regard, but there is a, California is the most aggressive from my understanding and also has one of the largest state taxes. So it's the 41 of your games are, well, the majority of your games, because there's also other tax free states as well. Right. Like, so Dallas probably plays between Florida, Tampa, Nashville, Seattle to an extent, although that's changing slightly with the new millionaire tax, and Vegas. That's a probably about eight or nine road games right there in tax-free states. So the Stars are looking at probably about 50 of their 82 games are probably in tax-free states, roughly.
Okay.
So yes, so it is, you are still getting tax state taxes out, but it's the majority are not. That's why that money, that's why those money calculators on things aren't always exactly correct. They can ballpark it, but they don't account properly for if you're playing in how many games a team might have in LA or how long you might be in LA or what the schedule looks like for that. Like there's that stuff is, that's why those tax calculators are always interesting.
Yeah.
Not exactly correct. I also think one of the other keys, and I've said this before with, especially with this generation of players and where things go, state tax does matter to an extent, but I always go back more and more to players. To me, professional athletes are ego driven, right? Like the whole thing is even the most humble professional athlete has an incredibly large ego. And that's not a bad thing. I always remember this. Rich Peverly told me this after the first time I interviewed Thomas Harley. I remember talking to Rich Peverly about him afterwards. And I've told this story before on the show, but I'll just say it again. But I remember Rich Peverly telling me, well, no one ever made the NHL without a massive ego. Even the most humble, like you have to have ego and confidence and swagger to make the NHL. And in an age now where everybody knows how much everyone makes, if you want to be one of the highest paid players and you want kind of that stature and that status, being the highest paid by AAV means a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people sometimes underplay and undervalue. When there's value to say, hey, I'm the highest paid, like Kirill Kaprizov making $17 million, right? Is he the highest dollar amount take home? I don't know. I haven't gone and done the tax calculator and everything like that, but he can say I'm the highest paid player in the NHL.
Yeah. I've also always wondered, does the league, are they the ones that take out the taxes or is it personal accountants that have to do it?
It is. It is basically done by the team, like it's basically, I believe that falls under the team accounting that handles all
I
of
would,
that.
I would think it would.
I believe that's how it handles. Okay. 'Cause like I was curious of, like, I was curious. I had a conversation last year with Jeff Petrie about this, who was playing in Detroit at the time. And he was playing under a deal where he had salary retained from Montreal. I think he had double salary retention for Montreal and Pittsburgh. And so I was curious, and I was curious from Petrie's perspective of how are you getting three checks right now? 'Cause you're playing for Detroit, but you had salary retained from Pittsburgh and Montreal. So what's happening? And he said, no, it's hitting his bank account direct deposit one way. And basically it's on the back end where the retention is being handled by the money people who handle all of that. So there's a whole back room, financial side, accountant side of the NHL that is very complicated.
Right. Okay. Next point that I wanted to hit. I understand if Jason Robertson doesn't want to live in Ottawa, let's just say, but I've also seen people say, why would you want to go to Ottawa? I'm just going to express my opinion, Sean. Mm-hmm. Listen, I understand they're not as good as the Dallas Stars, but I don't think people know that Jason Robertson could play on the left wing with Tim Stützle. And on defense would be Jake Sanderson. Ottawa has some really nice pieces. I'm interested to see what they do this offseason. Once again, I'm not saying they're Dallas Stars, but for people, I just don't think people know about Tim Stützle and how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, the reality with the Ottawa thing is my read on Jason Robertson is he wants to be one of the highest paid players on a team that can win the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
That is, and that's the whole, I don't think Jason cares about the most money. I think he cares about being one of the highest paid players on the team that can win the Stanley Cup. And that could be Dallas. That could be elsewhere. My issue with Ottawa, it's not Tim Stützle or Sanderson, because I think those are two really good players, obviously. If you're looking at potential extension and if you're Ottawa and you're making the pitch for Jason Robertson via trade, And you're going to try to do it where without an extension in place. I don't know. Maybe that gets you better value. I don't know. But the whole, you're going to want an extension in place. I don't know how you're going to sell Jason Robertson on this team is going to be a Stanley Cup contender in that division when you just traded your captain to the sleeping giant that is the Florida Panthers. And like sleeping giant's a very silly thing to say about a team that won back-to-back cups, but they did miss the playoffs this year, right?
Yeah.
So like it's a very hard proposition sell for me on that from getting Robertson signed there and everything like that. Would they make him maybe they throw the Godfather offer at him. Maybe it's the offer sheet that they go and say, hey, here, Jason, we're going to offer sheet you for $18 million. I'm being facetious, people. It's not going to be $18 million. But say, hey, let's offer sheet him for $18 million and give away 4 first-round picks for it. It's hard to, if that team might not be able to win the Stanley Cup, but hey, all of a sudden, you're the highest-paid player in hockey. That holds a lot of power too. So that to me is Ottawa's play here, is you got to be willing to pay and pay really, really big. And I don't know at the end of the day if Steve Staios is going to be able to justify parting with 4 first round picks for any player. That is such a high level. And you got to remember, Ottawa is the offer sheet can't include this year's draft pick because the offer sheet the Stars would have a week to match, so any offer sheet wouldn't be able to include this year's draft. And of the 3 picks Ottawa has in the draft this year, ironically enough, a Dallas player, Evgeny Dadonov, they were kind of penalized for that. They have that 32nd pick. That 32nd pick can't be traded as part of the term of them getting that pick back was it could not be traded. So Ottawa is interesting, but they don't have all this flexibility that it's kind of being shown off as by the social media crowd.
A young Gavin Spittle in 1995-96 covered Steve Staios when he played for the Worcester Ice Cats. In the
oh, there
age.
We go.
And it just makes me think, okay, but if I'm Steve Staios, Sean, what about this scenario? Everyone talks and relates me with Jason Robertson. But what if my target, knowing that the Stars are cap-strapped and trying to sign Robertson, what if I offer Maverick Bork a multi-year deal at $4.5 or $5 million a year, knowing that Maverick Bork grew up semi-close to Ottawa, just outside of Montreal in Quebec? What about that and the inability for the Stars to match that offer?
That's see, now, Gavin, to use a line from a video game that my wife really likes, now you're thinking with portals. Because that's probably the route that I would probably go down a little bit. You have to give up,
I think, a third round pick, maybe?
Yeah, like that's, I would go a little bit more down that route. And obviously, Maverick Bork has to. It's possible for the Stars to match any Maverick Bork offer. And I think the Stars, true, Jim Nill is a big believer in Maverick Bork. But you can go gum things up for Dallas. You can, why not take the swing at it, right? It doesn't, if you can, because if you're a believer in Bork, and I'm a believer in Maverick Bork, he went through a little bit of that disappointing trend and then he kind of hit that wall and got through it. All of a sudden, whether Bork accepts the offer or doesn't, or Dallas matches, either way, you're forcing activity in the league that might open something else up for you as well. So I don't see, I know we're not supposed to say that this is supposed to be what Stars fans want, but from an Ottawa perspective, I see no negative at all in offer sheeting Maverick Bork. Honestly, yeah. I see no negative for any team when it comes to offer sheeting Maverick Bork. Like that's, he would be, to me, I think the Stars need to look at Maverick Bork and Jason Robertson as 2 priorities at the same time. Like, they should be working on getting Bork signed now, no matter what happens with Robertson. Mm-hmm. And then you figure out the other stuff later. Like, I go back to this, and I was talking to the editor I work with over at D Magazine, Mike Pellucci, who does obviously runs a tremendous shop over there. But everyone talks about the Stars being cap strapped and everything like that. Ilya Lyubushkin might be difficult to move right now, right? because you know what, he makes $3.25 million and didn't have a kind of fell down the depth chart. But Ilya Lyubushkin, Gavin, come August 15th, August 20th, when you're one of those NHL teams and you're looking at your blue line and you got one right shot D and you got three 24-year-olds on your blue line, all of a sudden Ilya Lyubushkin looks really good.
Yeah.
Ilya Lyubushkin is not a good trade asset right now. Like, honestly, like if I'm sitting in Jim Nill's shoes, and I know this is going to make Stars fans nervous and nervous and kind of worried all summer, but personally for me, I sit on Lyubushkin until August, when I think all of a sudden his value goes up because people will look at their depth chart and realize, oh, dang, I need a reliable right shot veteran D. All of a sudden he becomes a lot more valuable than right now when everyone still has their kind of, well, we can do better. Well, not everyone's going to be able to do better.
Yep. I love how you chimed in on your Twitter/X account when it was brought up about Jason Robertson's ties to Detroit.
Yes.
And that leads us into the report that Dylan Larkin's top team would be Dallas.
Mm-hmm. I think his top team is, I don't know about top team. I think there is a, the reality is Dylan's top team was probably, if we're just being completely honest about it, was Florida, right? Like, I think he wanted to go play with the Tkachuk brothers. That's something that is, that I think is hard not to just be completely blunt about. And so if Florida's off the table, which who knows, Bill Zito has obviously done some pretty impressive, has done some really impressive work in general with, has done some really impressive work over the past couple of years, obviously just finding ways to get things done that you don't really expect to happen. All of a sudden, Dallas is a really good fit for him. I think he also would like to go to Carolina, for example. So when people say the top destination for Dylan Larkin is Dallas, I think that comes with a way bigger asterisk than someone's just trying to simplify into a tweet. I think Larkin, and I personally think my personal view on the Stars and Larkin is, I think Larkin is a hell of a plan B if the Robertson contract negotiations go too far. I think your priority should be getting Robertson done. It should be getting Robertson done. It should be getting Maverick Bourque signed. But if Jason Robertson's really pushing for $14 million, and that's not somewhere you're willing to go within your internal structure or your owner's willing to let you go on, make your Dylan Larkin move. I think that is the – that for me is one of the kind of that for me is the best kind of course of action here. If you're looking at when it comes to Larkin and the Stars and where that all is. So
NHL draft this weekend. Do you think Gavin McKenna goes number one?
I think he's already been told he's going number one.
Okay,
we've heard the rumblings that Toronto already told him that at the combine. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But yes, McKenna is going to go number one. I think the real interesting thing is going to be what happens at number two. Whether it's is Ivar Stenberg going to go number two to San Jose? Is it going to be Reed? Do they go with one of the D? Do they go with a Keaton Vaihtoehto or a Carson Carroll's? The chatter about it right now has been like that San Jose is looking hard at Stenberg, but I also can't help but wonder if part of that is a, it doesn't hurt. Like, everyone knows Chicago wants Stenberg at number three. So it doesn't hurt if you're San Jose to be like, we might take Stenberg, to all of a sudden try to maybe, yeah, you never know, right? Maybe you swap two and three and you gain another pick later in the draft. Because if you're San Jose and you really want a D, you can get the D you want at number three and maybe pick up another pick with a swap with Chicago potentially. So,
well, it wasn't just a Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk celebration. Their dad, mm-hmm, Keith, get selected into the Hall of Fame, he actually was quoted as saying, "I missed a couple of phone calls from the Hall of Fame," which is pretty funny to read. The class of 2026, Patrice Bergeron, Carey Price, Pecorine, Brian Burke is the builder, and that's an important category from what I'm about to ask, Cindy Curley, and as mentioned, Keith Tkachuk. Any surprises there? And I go back to two people that I hope, if they don't get in as players, will get in as builders, Rob Brind'Amour and Beaker, the GM of the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I struggle with caring enough about the Hockey Hall of Fame right now because of the committee is such a cloak and dagger thing. I also, my biggest soapbox I want to jump on right away is they're only allowed to induct two women's players per year, and yeah, they never do it. This year they only did one, right? And it's so just, there's the whole like, and women's hockey is so far behind that there's such an underrepresentation for women's hockey in the Hockey Hall of Fame that to me, that's one of the biggest kind of the problems with it. I also like, I mean, I look at this class and Keith Tkachuk has scored a lot of goals, and obviously that's one of the most important things in the game. But I also wonder, is he in the Hall of Fame? Is he in the class if not for his sons being in the headlines all the time? I don't
interesting know. Interesting. Yeah, it's a very interesting. Like, I thought about that as well.
Like, I don't know. So it's, I kind of, just to be very blunt, I don't really, my bandwidth for the Hockey Hall of Fame has kind of shrunk quite a bit because it's, I don't understand their decision-making process, and they have no reason to share. And it doesn't really fit. And so I think getting kind of lost in the sauce on that isn't worth it right now because, like, I don't want to take a shot at Pecorine, but Pecorine probably shouldn't be in there before some other people, yeah. Right? Like, yep. The right word here is, I don't know what's worth the time and energy, I guess.
No, I totally understand. I just looked at Keith Tkachuk's stats, and then I looked at Brind'Amour, who won a cup as a player. And then I look at Pat Verbeek and his numbers, and I'm, you know, hopefully they get in at some point, but congratulations to all those. Unbelievable. We fit everything in and more. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We also heard from Sean's dog, which is
awesome. We did. Yeah. She's Bing. She is, nice. She's 15 or 16 years old now, depending on how old she was when we adopted her. And so she's been by my side for a long time and always sits by my feet during these things. So,
so cool. No, absolutely. That is wonderful. So we will talk to you, later this week, live, from the NHL draft. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we will. We'll have to figure out the time on Friday to do it and whether we'll see what happens with, activity, right? Because there's always the reality is deadlines make moves. And I think with where we are in the league right now, there are several things that could happen. I think just having the natural deadline of the draft will push some things, right? Like, I think for example, the Larkin trade, like, I think the Larkin trade either happens in the next 72 hours or it doesn't happen until August, right? Like, yeah. I just think there's the reality of that where it's either this deadline or the training camp deadline, which one moves everything.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting with San Jose picking, with Ottawa and the draft picks that they have. It's going to be a fascinating one. So everyone keep your eyes out, and that's why you need to follow at Sean Shapiro. He brought the information today. Hopefully you're more informed on the Jason Robertson situation, and you can read all of Sean's stuff at Shap Shots. That's his Substack. So if you haven't subscribed, please do so. He also will be covering the NHL draft at Elite Prospects. He also writes for D Magazine, and he'll be dropping a new episode with Robert Tiffin of Algorithmically Incorrect. That's a video podcast you can watch. Just search it out on YouTube and press that subscribe button. All right, my man, have a good week. I will talk to you later this week.
I'm looking forward to it, Gavin. We will talk to you from Buffalo for the second time this month, because we did it from Buffalo back at the Combine, too. So we get two trips to Buffalo in the same month. Wasn't that fascinating?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sean is making a home in Buffalo covering, but that's what we love about Sean Shapiro. He goes wherever the hockey is, and we learn and we grow. That's another edition of Spits and Suds. Special thanks to producer Gregory Finley, also the on-time experts. Thank you for sticking with us this off season as the content continues to come in. We produce more content for you. So we can reach out to us anytime at Spits and Suds. At GJ Spittle is my Twitter. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.